it is the start of every podcast. No other reason.
Because it's fun for us.
It makes us laugh.
Do you think there are people that, like, put in their earbuds, they're on the subway, and they start our podcast, and they're like, oh, so loud. So loud.
And they
so
take
loud.
The earbuds out.
Yeah,
and
then they put it back in.
Right around now, they put them back in. They're like, oh, they've calmed
Those
down.
Those girls have to yell at the beginning. Why do they have to yell at me?
It's activating.
It is activating.
We just do what brings us joy.
We like to be in joy.
We do.
Speaking of
joy,
there's so many joys to speak of.
So many joys.
But the topic of this podcast.
Should we sing the song?
Yes. I think we sang the song on our last podcast.
Did we?
On our silly podcast? I think we did. But
it's our favorite song.
This is the topic, friends, of this podcast, and so we're going to sing it to you. It goes,
Heaven is here.
When the mind is clear. When the mind is clear.
When the mind is clear. You would think that we would practice our singing before we did it, but no.
Or pick a key, but we don't do that either. We just jump in. It's like jumping into the deep end. Here we go.
I love that we did this also on our Rob Bell podcast, where we told Rob we had a song to perform for him.
And he thought it was going to be a long song.
And he just got very terrified. But then he valued our full commitment.
Yes. That's what we do. We're full out. We're full out every time. So if you listened to our last podcast where Natalie and I recapped our vacation, we mentioned, I believe, that there was a song that Natalie has on her phone that's so good. Who performs the song?
You know what? It's like... I have to look it up, but it's like Machiachu or something. It's like
Machiachu, I love
it's
him.
It's like this name that sounds kind of like that. And it's like this yogi who my yoga teacher, Christy, always plays his songs in her yoga class. And they just have so many cool songs, and they're all conscious and have like beautiful lyrics, but they're like upbeat and fun, and they get in your head, and it's the most fun.
Well, that song has been such a great testimony to me. And when we were talking about tonight, like what we wanted to talk about... and you said, I want to talk about how heaven is here. And I was like, that's all I want to talk about, is how heaven is here and now.
Yeah.
I always think about how, I'm just going to jump into Jesus Christ.
Let's
you know,
do
come
it.
On.
I feel like that's all that you do with JC.
I just jump right in with JC. Would talk about how the kingdom of God is here and now, and that the kingdom of God is within, right? And so something that has become just an interesting thing for me to be mindful of is if heaven is here and now and heaven is within me, when do I distract myself from the fact that I'm in heaven?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when do I use other things? Really, I abuse other situations, other people, and the gifts that life has given me sometimes to take me out of heaven.
Yeah, I think that's the common thing, is that we are actually in a state where there is no problem, where nothing is wrong. And we're actually trained and conditioned to look for something to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be walking down the street and it's a beautiful day and there's no problem.
The sun is shining.
Everything's great. And it's like... all of a sudden you're looking for the street is too crowded, or this person bumped into me, or, you know, the line at the bank is too long, or I have to get on the subway and I don't want to. Whatever the situation is, we're trained to look for the thing that is not heaven, when actually the present moment reality is everything's great. There's no problem here.
There's no problem.
And it's almost like, speaking of Christy, my teacher, one thing that she says is sometimes people who are prone to worrying will find themselves in positions where there's nothing to worry about, and then they'll worry about that.
Yes.
Like, I'm so worried that there's nothing to worry about.
I'm waiting
something
for the
is
shoe
wrong.
To drop. Yeah,
that's
I'm waiting,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
and,
right.
And, you know, it's so funny. I had a situation this morning where I left my house so aware that it was the most gorgeous day in New York and really just drinking it in. And I got into this cab, and the cab driver, I could see how he was like, looking for problems. And it was so, it was such a fun thing for me to observe, like, how there are so many things to appreciate.
Yeah.
And we can choose where we put our focus on.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I just know for myself right now, the calling is, like, Eckhart Tolle will talk about being present. and I think when he talks about being, you know, like when Ram Dass said, be here now, it's like in this moment, there's actually nothing to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And our ego mind, right, we talk about this all the time, is trained to look for problems, to solve them for some future thing
yes.
that isn't here, because we think we have to be the doer.
Yeah.
And we, you and I always talk about, right, undoing that idea and being like, what if we don't have to be the person that solves the problem?
Mm.
What if we're just supposed to be here as the person who enjoys what is playing out in front of us, and we get to receive all the gifts from it?
And it's one of those things where the more caught up we are in the energy of problems, then we become expert problem solvers. And then we get like juice from that. We get validation from that, and we get our self-worth from that. But wouldn't it be more fun to be the person who is watching everyone else be in problem, saying, oh, I'm over here being the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm getting expert at. I'm getting expert at not getting into the problem. I'm getting expert at seeing the gratitude, seeing the solution, seeing the bliss, seeing the perfection in the moment. And isn't that something that's more a badge of honor that we actually want to embody?
Well, you know, I talked to you this morning that when I was doing my morning practice, what the universe was saying to me was, just let me delight you.
Mm.
Just let me delight you. Like, take your brain, your ego mind that will ever look for something that it thinks it needs to solve, and just shh, quiet down, baby girl.
Mm.
And here I am. I will unfurl at your feet all the goodness of the entire universe.
Mm.
You walk through your day and just be a noticer of the good, and I will delight you.
And I feel like it's one of those things where it's almost like the universe is so in love with us. It is constantly being like trying to one-up itself.
Yes.
And show us how rad it is.
Yeah.
And so it's like the more we get into our problems, the less we can see that what Michael Beckwith talks about is that heaven is the ever-expanding good, that the universe is actually a place that is always evolving. We, as a species, as a human, are always evolving. We're always transcending and taking ourselves to the next level, whether we know it or not. But the power of our mind and our thoughts and our epigenetics and the biology of belief that Bruce Lipton talks about is so powerful that we can actually just like have blinders on. It's like sleeping with a sleep mask.
Yeah.
Where you just don't see what's happening. You don't see that it's actually all working out in your favor. And it's almost like when we train our eyes to see how it's all looking in our favor, that even when we find ourselves in the problem, all of a sudden it can get really exciting. Like, oh, this problem is also awesome for me. How am I not seeing that?
That's the question. So if something shows up that looks like it could be a problem, I love to go, ooh, okay, universe, my ego wants to think this is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Show me how it isn't. Show me how it's already solved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I can dissolve that place in my mind as well, right?
Yeah. I had this miracle today. So I have been trying to manifest something really specifically. And I got really attached to the form of it has to be this one thing. And I was like doing all my spiritual work around it. Like, this is the one. This is the thing. I'm getting the thing. It's my thing. I'm claiming it. I'm owning it. I know my worth. It's going to be mine. And then all of a sudden, the thing went away. Like, the thing's not going to you. The thing is going to someone else. And I felt all of the, it's not fair. I did everything right. I'm so disappointed. I feel less than. It's like all the human stuff when we get in that place of not getting something that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to several people because I know in that place, when you have someone to reflect with who knows you as you really are, when you're in your victim self, but you can reach out to people who know you not as that victim and they know you as the really powerful creator that you are. I reached out to so many people, and one particular person that I reached out to said, why don't you just get into meditation? Just get into meditation and stop thinking about that specific form of the thing and start just getting really, really excited about whatever the thing looks like, how excited you're going to be when it happens for you, and live in the energy. And so literally I was having all these beautiful visuals of like various moments of me being in communion with this thing that I really, really wanted, but not attached to it being the one that I thought it was going to be. Almost letting it be like, universe, I don't know what it wants to be, but I know this is how it feels when I'm in it. And wouldn't you know that literally hours later, like worlds moved out of the way, miracles came through, and something that could have never been mine all of a sudden landed on my lap. And it was actually so much superior than the thing I first wanted.
That's right.
And what it made me think of is I only asked for what I wanted from the place of worth that I was seeing and feeling myself as. Mm-hmm. And it was like the universe saw me as something greater and bigger. So it actually took away from me what I thought I wanted to show me that I could get something better when I couldn't see it for myself.
That's right.
So how often do problems show up in our lives to just show us that we're actually bigger than the thing that we think is the problem? And the minute we can say, okay, well, Spirit, you show me through your eyes. You show me what I can't see. Then it's like all of a sudden we find ourselves in a place of like, oh, that problem isn't even part of my consciousness anymore because I'm already at the next level.
What you did was exactly what Abraham Hicks teaches, right? They say, stop looking at the thing that you think the thing isn't here yet, right? Mm-hmm. That's just creating more of the vibration of it's not here, it's not here. Get in the feeling tone, the energy, the vibration of what it feels like to have the thing. Mm. Live in that. And then from that place of energetic feeling, the thing that is the match for you will come in. So, you know, there's a thing I do sometimes in the morning in my morning practice, and I call it flowing energy. Mm. So I'll get in my meditation state, and I'll think of what it is I'm pulling in, right? And then I'll just let my mind be flooded with visuals, but I'll feel myself get activated and turned on by the fact that it's like what it feels like to live in that thing and that feeling and have those things, like whatever that, whatever it is that I'm working on at the moment, I get high and I get turned on by that feeling tone. And then I leave the house from that energetic state.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to call it, but flowing energy. So that from that place, I can attract whatever it is that is the match for me.
And sometimes we attract things that we don't expect. And part of being in the problem is that the only problems that are exist in form, because there's no problem in spirit. There's nothing to be fixed in spirit. And we are both spiritual beings and a being that is form and human and physical. And the only place that we get problems is ever in the form. Mm. And so sometimes we think that the solutions can also only come in a certain form, right? So it's like, I have X problem, so the solution can only come in X way. And then we actually cut ourselves off from a whole alphabet of solutions that is actually there being like, well, I could have come in this back door and given you this solution, mm-hmm. or I could have come this way and given you this solution. It kind of reminds me of this really thing that I've had all my life, and I know a lot of, I've joked about it at Create, and a lot of actors have shared, that it's almost like you don't want to tell people you're an actor, because the first thing that someone will say to you the second you say, I'm an actor, is they go, what have I seen you in? You know, like, and then just puts you in that space of either feeling like you have to lie or deflect, or like hopefully you have something great to say, oh, I just did this thing or whatever, but then you know it's just your ego trying to get validation. Mm-hmm. So the answer and the question never really feels authentic. It always kind of feels like a problem. So many of us will just say like, something else. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So what's fascinating to me is I was in this Lyft the other day, and my Lyft driver asked me what I did, and I felt the problem come up. Don't say you're an actor, because then he's going to ask you what you do, and then you're going to have to make a whole thing about it. But then I felt, well, if the problem is only in my ego, and if the problem is only in the form, then I can just declare energetically what I am and who I am. So it's like I had the opportunity to say to this guy, I'm an actor. Like, how lucky am I? I'm an actor. How cool is that? And he then in turn was like, can I ask you questions about what it is to be an actor? And I was like, of course you can. Now, the questions this guy asked me were things like, tell me what it's like when you do a character and then you release that character. Do you keep a piece of that character with you in your everyday life? And how does that affect your relationships? And how do you see the world after you've played a role like that? Is it different? The colors feel different? Are your senses different? And it was like all of a sudden I was in the most beautiful, inspiring, artistic conversation of my life with my Lyft driver. And it's like that solution and healing and activation could have never come from me in a story of there might be a problem if I say this, so I better not say it to avoid the problem.
Oh, that's so good. You created the porthole from being willing to enter into the unknown for heaven to arise.
Yeah.
Right? I think I was telling you earlier, before we start doing our podcast, about Michael Beckwith has this one sermon about heaven being here and now. And he says, if you want to experience heaven in the here and now, spend one day as an experiment, giving up your judgments, giving up what you think is your preferences, giving up your need to get anything from the world, and giving up your need to fix anything from the world, right? Just let go. He says, put the inquisitive mind in check. And instead, enter into your day. How can I bring value to the people and to the things that are coming into my life?
Wow.
Right? So if you've come to be this vessel to give value either to the Lyft driver or to the project that you're working on, the thing that you are writing, the barista, you, whoever you encounter in your life, your best friend, right? If that becomes your dominant intention, then you've actually become the space where ever-expanding good can be there, and so heaven is there now.
Mm.
Isn't that deep?
So the calling is for us to be the heaven that we seek. That if heaven is ever expanding good, if heaven is the thing that keeps unfolding and surprising and delighting and amazing us because it just keeps getting better and better and better, then when we are in a mindset of looking how things are getting worse and worse and worse, then we cannot expect heaven to exist in that paradigm.
Ooh, because life is just a hologram reflecting back to us what's going on inside of us energetically.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever we bring is what we're going to, like a boomerang, receive back.
And so if our calling is to be the ever-expanding good, then that is going to show up in every area. So all the places where we feel maybe insecure or unworthy, then how can that expand in this moment? Not how can we shrink away and how can we let people not see those sides of us, but how can we let those, even the pieces of us that we want to judge,
right,
how can we let even those parts expand?
Well, this makes me think of the Create that we taught last night, right? Can we go
epic,
through?
Epic,
epic. We had the best Create
the
last night.
Best time.
We've been doing this series on collaboration, and really, collaboration just becomes this kind of like wonderful metaphor of any time we're in the situation of creating something with another person,
yeah,
which happens when you go to dinner with someone or you decide to make a movie with them, right? It's like you and another person are actively in the process of creation. And we talked about sacred wounds,
mm-hmm,
and we talked about those parts of us that early on in our childhood got hurt in some way. There's some sort of some scar that got developed, right? And that whenever we come together in any kind of marriage or meeting, especially the deepest kind is like when we create art, those sacred wounds will get called up. The same in collaboration as well as in romantic relationships or in the deepest friendships. And we talked about take your gunk,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
See it as a gift.
Let it become a game.
And then it does the work of God.
Mm-hmm. The four G's.
The four G's.
Moving from the gunk in our lives, the conditioning, the stories that were told about us, to us, the unworthiness or the insecurities, the gunk, and taking that and tracing it back to when the moment was just before we received that gunk. Imagine that someone handed it to you.
Right.
So for some people, it might have been that you were always the class clown and having the best time and making people laugh. And then you had a parent or a school teacher or a bully that said, like, you shouldn't do that. That isn't the right thing to do. And then all of a sudden we felt ourselves shut down. Who we were before that gunk, that conditioning, that story arrived is actually the true essence of heaven. The closer we get to our authenticity, the closer we get to the expression of heaven on earth.
That's right. And we did this, you know, we talked about, for so many different people, it can be different things. Maybe there was a moment you were young that someone made you feel unattractive, or you felt abandoned, or, so we get these, like, kind of, like, scars on our soul, and then when they get triggered again in real life, all we want to do is run away. And what we were talking about last night is, instead of running away, or instead of blaming the other person, or projecting they have an issue, they have a problem, saying, ooh, my wound is up. Ooh, what a gift. What a gift. Okay, this is a gift because I get to look to who I was before the moment that that happened, right? And we did an exercise last night where we all kind of like looked at who the person we were, what we came into this world with, and say, now we have the opportunity to activate that part of ourselves, of our spirit, in this here and now moment, right? Yeah. And then from that point, right, once we see the gift of being able to resurrect or reawaken that part of ourselves, now it becomes a game.
Yeah.
A game to go, ooh, okay, I'm in the fire, but this fire has come to transform me.
Yes.
And I can play this game with life instead of doing the other tactics I used to do. I can now say, oh, I actually get to bring my original self.
That's right. Instead of living from the gunk, from the wound, as a reaction and a response of having been someone who was hurt or injured, who were you before that injury happened? And yoga talks about it as the heart chakra is the anahata, the unstruck. How is it that you can live from a heart that is so open? The heart operates as if it's never been struck, as if nothing has ever happened to it. That you have that level of open-heartedness that it's like you forget all the wounds and live from the place that was pre-existing from the wounds. And so if you were the person that didn't feel attractive, probably the place that predated those wounds was the person who felt so confident. And if you were the class clown that was then told to not do that, probably the person you were was the light and buoyancy of this world in a dark and negative world.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if you were the person that felt not good enough in your wound, probably who you were was the person that was so joyful and had so much love to give that it was infectious. So then the game becomes, when I'm in a situation where I feel like the gunk wants to tell me who I am, the game is, how can I say, no, that's not who I am. Who I actually am is the love, is the enthusiasm, is the confidence. And so my job, no matter who else is in their wounds, is to bring that gift to them, that gift to the situation, that gift to my life, that gift to this present moment.
And at that moment, when we're playing that kind of game, we're doing the work of God.
That's it. That's it. Because that is the energy of divine source.
That's right.
I remember listening to Esther Hicks when she was channeling Abraham, talking about someone had asked, how could you explain forgiveness to us? And Abraham said, well, we don't really know what that is. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And they're like, well, we understand what you think it means. But we as an entity, we divinity, we universe, we cosmic consciousness have never had a need to forgive anyone. So we don't need to understand forgiveness. We don't live in a space where there's ever anything to forgive. So we don't have to figure out what forgiveness is. We live from a place where every single person is doing their best and it's enough.
Ugh.
And so it's like, if we are loved that wholly and fully by the universe, that they don't even have to understand what forgiveness is. We don't have to go and repent and say, I'm so sorry. It's like, okay, let's move on. Like, you've already been forgiven because we don't even know what forgiveness is. All we are is love for you. And if we can embody that energy to the people we collaborate with, to the people we're in relationship with, then how does that create heaven on earth?
That's it. You said something last night that struck me. You said, can we, like, we talked about, you know, when you're a parent, you have such a desire to create this protective bubble around a child so that they're never hurt by life, right? That your love is so big. And we said, can we be that in our collaborations and in our romantic relationships, to love so big and so deeply that even when they might fall down or something might happen, that we are that protective arms of the universe saying, it's okay, I love you so much, and all I want is to create for you a space where you no longer feel my projection on you. Yeah. All you feel is infinite love.
Yeah.
You know?
And that is how heaven is here.
Yeah.
Heaven is here. In the song they say, heaven is here when the mind is clear. Illuminate the path, draw the mind back.
Draw the mind back.
So the path gets illuminated when the mind takes a back seat.
That's right.
And allows the heart to move forward. There's this beautiful Zen story about this guru who had two cats, a really big cat and a really small cat.
I love a story with a cat and a guru.
A cat
and a
guru.
Can I just stop and say, the cats and guru, bring those stories
on. Bring it
on.
So someone came over to the guru's house, and he had two, like, little door cutouts in his door. And one was a big one for the big cat, and one was a little one for the little cat. And the person said to the guru, well, surely the little cat could have also fit through the big door. Like, isn't it kind of redundant to have two different doors? And the guru said, to each gets its own path. And what he meant by that is that the mind and the heart each have their own path. And one isn't right and one isn't wrong, but they don't travel in the same way.
Yeah.
And so they both get to be honored with their own doorway. And so the mind is not something to be condemned. We give it its own door and we say, thank you for showing up when I need you, and here's your door. We just don't want you traveling through the door of the heart because you don't belong there. And when it comes to collaborations and romance and friendships, what we most desire is to move through the door of the heart, but we cannot let the mind travel through a door that it doesn't belong in.
That's right. Oh, you know, it's like the sweet mind will always want to choose protection.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the path of transcendence. You know, the heart is the pathway of healing, and we came here to heal each other and heal ourselves through open-heartedness.
Yeah. And it's just that beautiful idea. People talk about, my heart is broken, or I feel like I have to guard or protect my heart. But the yogis say it's impossible to break a heart.
Yeah, that's right.
It's impossible. It's not a glass. You cannot break a heart.
Ram Dass says, who you are is not vulnerable. Who you think you are is vulnerable.
That's
right.
It. That's
so the
it.
Structure of the ego, the person who has built this like idea of this persona, sure, that's vulnerable. That can break. But the heart, the soul, that can't be hurt.
Yeah.
That can't be touched.
It's like the omnipresence of heaven.
Yeah.
Whether we are in heaven or not doesn't make it disappear.
That's right.
It just means we disappear from it.
That's right.
But it remains.
Mm-hmm.
And so our only job is to say, if I know that heaven is an ever-expanding, ever-unfolding good and space that exists in every moment of life, and I'm not in it, it's not my job to blame heaven.
Uh-huh.
And it's not my job to blame anyone else who's not in it or is in it or anything. Uh-huh. We were talking earlier about oftentimes we'll get jealousy or feeling sad or disconnected if someone else gets something we want. So, for example, as an actor or a performer, if you see someone else getting an opportunity or an audition, and
as a director, that same thing happens,
right? And you're not getting that opportunity. Yeah. It's like you feel like you're not in heaven. You feel like they're in heaven and I'm not in heaven. But what's fascinating is that all that's being revealed to you is we live in a world where cosmic consciousness has already created that those opportunities and possibilities exist. What would not be heaven is if there was all these actors in the world and there was no such thing as an audition. Mm-hmm. And there was no such thing as a booking. And there was no such thing as getting to do a play. And there was no such thing as getting to make a movie. And we were all sitting around saying, well, now what? That would be feeling like, oh, now I don't really know where heaven is. But if we see heaven over there and we just feel disconnected from it, what a great opportunity to say, well, I'm not going to make heaven wrong. I'm just going to go, how do I get over there?
Yeah. Beckwith will talk about that, and he'll say that if you notice someone who has something, you go, well, John's got it. He's so prosperous. Mm. So I already can see that that vibration is possible. That place exists. So if that is happening over there for John, then that's possible for me too.
Yeah.
Right? So a question can become like, you know, we've talked about this before. Oh, then it's close by. It's getting closer to me.
It's getting closer. It's getting closer. When your best friend books it, you know it's coming towards you.
You know it's right around the corner. And sometimes a prayer I'll work with is, show me how I'm already in heaven and let my eyes be able to see clearly when I have left.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. That's it. Heaven is here.
Heaven is here.
When the mind is clear.
When the mind is clear.
It's only the mind that wants the problem. And the heart has no problems.
How great to know that we have no problems.
We have no problems. What if you went around all day today and just affirmed, I don't have any problems.
I have no problems.
And so when the subway's late, or, you know, when your rent's due and you don't have the money, or, you know, like whatever happens, what if you didn't label that as a problem and just went, okay, well, I don't have a problem. And so what, show me.
Well, I can't wait to see how this one gets solved.
I
can't wait to see how this is already taken care of.
And meet it with enthusiasm and curiosity.
All the curiosity.
Because that's where heaven is.
That is. And heaven is in getting to be delighted by what we don't yet know.
Ah! Oh, and the ego doesn't like not knowing what it doesn't know.
That's right.
But the heart loves it.
The Course in Miracles tells us all of our problems have already been solved. All right, friends.
All right. Well, I'm so happy that you don't have any problems.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're in heaven.
Oh, heaven is here.
Hey, guess what, guys? You're in heaven.
You're in heaven. Woo! Oh, my gosh. We all get to be in heaven together. There's no bigger gift.
There's no bigger gift.
There's no bigger gift than every person listening right now, how all of us, all of our hearts are walking through that same door right now.
Right now. All of us. And, like, can you imagine everyone just feeling that expanse of freedom right now?
Right now.
There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to solve. We just get to witness what life is giving us.
And giving yourself that moment, wherever you are, unless you're driving, close your eyes and just take in a breath. Take in a grateful breath right now, right here. I am in heaven. I'm in heaven with my community, I'm in heaven with my soul, I'm in heaven with my prosperity, I'm in heaven with my career, I'm in heaven with my lovers, I'm in heaven with Kristen and Natalie. We are in heaven.
We're in heaven with our talent, with our beauty, with our heart, with our kindness.
Heaven is here.
Heaven is here, and we get to activate heaven for everyone around us.
So let's have a fun podcast homework this week where can you, if you have listened to this podcast, give yourself the little homework to go around for the rest of the day, maybe even the rest of the week, and see how much heaven you can activate?
Ooh.
In people, in plants, hug a flower, lie on grass, thank the subway pole for holding you up.
Eat that apple and taste every bite. And notice heaven as well. So activate heaven, and then also notice where you're not doing a thing.
And heaven is right there.
And it's just showing up for you. I had this moment today where my stage manager, my assistant stage manager, showed up to show me new props. But she did it by putting on this giant moose head. So she walks up with this giant moose head and her hands full of like two trays full of props. And yes. I turned around and I knew that my prayer this morning was, delight me, universe. And I was like, And that is how.
And I am
thoroughly delighted in this moment. That heaven shows up in all these unexpected ways.
And you may be so attached to something you need or something you think you need or something you want, but ask to be shown the heaven that's here that you haven't seen yet. And get ready to be delighted.
Here it comes, friends.
Here it comes. We will not sing the song again, just to save your ears.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll post in the Create community what the song is if you want to listen to it. It's pretty great.
If you want to listen to it in tune.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for being heaven to us. We love you so, so much.
We love you, and we know that you are heavenly. If you want to know about the Create Workshop Series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!